Welcome to Eureka Street Crypto. This is my anti-professional crypto channel. I'm just a barely sane dude who fell down the cryptocurrency rabbit hole. This channel is my fumbling attempt to communicate myself outside my own head about my journey in the crypto space. It is basically my brain dump. None of this is actual financial advice.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. I'm Eureka John, and you're at Eureka Street Crypto Hub. I'm broadcasting live on Wednesday, and it is it's supposed to be December 8th today. Yeah, man, my computer says that it's 5:57 in the morning on December 7th. All right, man, I need to fix that. It is Wednesday, December 8th at 5:11 in the morning. Shoot, dude, I'm up earlier than I thought I was. Well, all right then. The day's getting long, shorter and shorter, it seems to me. So I'm up extra early. Well, hey, I don't even have to commute in today, so I get to work from home. But hey, there's a lot of stuff in store today. I do work from home, but I also have a lot of meetings and stuff with like the Dow and I take my daughter to school and I'm also doing an interview later today at 4:00 Central Time with Humpty Calderon and Philip Silva from Bright ID. And Humpty Calderon, he's with Ontology, and he's also a fellow Bankless DAO member, and he runs the Crypto Sapiens podcast. He's the host of that as well. So that should be a fun recording stream. But anyway, so this is my little morning show, and I do this every single day. This is my video blog, aka Morning Brain Dump. And you never know what you're going to get here. It could be complete crap, and it could be great. So, and I don't really have a whole lot prepared today. This is a daily show. Sometimes I totally slack, and other times I totally prepare, and it is what it is. This is me just talking about the latest news that I've learned in crypto, and sometimes I'll shill my own bags and stuff like that. It is what it is. This is not financial advice, and I'm not really trying to teach you anything. So this is not teaching material or technical analysis, and I don't do all those little chart readouts and all that type of stuff, you know, cups and handles and Wyckoff effects and golden crosses and swan, death swan, and, you know, weird umbrella shapes and all types of stuff. That's not me. I've been doing this over a year now. So, 348 episodes in. So, it's pretty all right, man. It's just super all right, man. So let's take a look over here at the old CoinGecko and see what we have going on here. Bitcoin is at $49,496.57. Back down in the fours. And hey, well, Ethereum's in the fours too, but that's $4,275.66. So that's not a bad four. Either way, whatever, over this last weekend, since Bitcoin was low and it was like down at $47,000, I took out a loan so I could ape in and buy some more crap, you know, like, it's probably totally irresponsible, but I did it anyway. And I figured the liquidation for the loan is if Bitcoin hits 18,000. So I don't think Bitcoin's going to hit 18,000. But then again, this is the crypto market and you never really know. So yeah, we'll find out, won't we? So I took that and I went over and I got some DAI for that. I did that on the Celsius app. So I mix centralized and DeFi, and you know, I'm not a purist to any one thing, you know, whatever works for me in the, you know, at the time, that's what I use. So I'm not really one of these total tribalists as far as cryptocurrencies are concerned. Whatever works, I'll use. Like for instance, I was shopping on the Tezos NFT space the other day, and there's some really good art over there. I think I heard Kevin Rose on the Bankless DAO podcast, not Bankless, the Bankless HQ podcast, talking with Ryan and David over there, talking about the Tezos NFT market and the hen market over there. And there's some really good artists over there, because a lot of really good artists Can't afford to go play on the Ethereum blockchain right now because of all the dang gas fees and all that stuff. So, yeah, I went and bought a few NFTs over there on the Tezos, the Hen marketplace. Let me see if I can pull it up. So here, Tezos, Hen, NFT. There's a few marketplaces over there. I have a Kukai wallet, K-U-K-A-I, and then it links you to some of those marketplaces. So let me go here, Kukai. Let's see here, Hen, Tezos, Hen, NFT. Let's see what comes up in the search here. And, you know, we'll see if it leads us somewhere down a, into a pretty place. And this is kind of a cool little brave, oh shoot, man. Right when I start to appreciate the wallpaper, it just disappears on me. Yeah. Oh, life. anyway, while that's loading, so see, notice I use pre-search. I don't use Google. Pre-search is more is a decentralized search engine, and you can run a pre-search node too if you want. So here it is. Hik-A-Nuke-101, I believe, is this NFT marketplace. So Hen utilizes the Tezos blockchain for minting and trading NFTs. As of May 2021, Hen is the fastest growing marketplace for minting and trading NFTs. And I know I've covered this in some past episodes, but I want to show you again because I'm on the topic. I wasn't really planning on this. So here, look at this website. So Hik-A-Nuke onboarding links and resources, Hen community tools, Hikathon, minting NFTs, Hen Wiki, Discord, Hen Reddit, Hen Code of Conduct, Temple Wallet, Kukai Wallet. That's what I use. Tezos Faucet, Tezos Blockchain Explorer, Tezos Stats, Digital Objects. You know, I know Ethereum is doing extremely well, and I love Ethereum and everything like that, but a lot of times, whenever it gets too expensive to play there, you kind of follow where the artists go and where some developers go and stuff like that, and a lot of them are going over here to this type of marketplace, so it's pretty cool to see. So let me go open up my Kukai wallet, and we'll see. I wonder what Kukai means, where that comes from. Is it from another language, or is it just some random word that somebody made up? I don't know. Ah, oh, man, everything's kind of slugging right now. okay, Kukai wallet. A secure home for your digital assets. Sure, I'll accept these cookies. I did sign in with my Google because I was low on time. I don't normally sign in with Google. I would sit there and like do all the ledger and stuff like that. But I figured it's like a $2 NFT, so someone's gonna steal it from me. Okay. So. I'm having some difficulties with my internet connection. That's kind of, I guess it's maybe because I'm streaming anyway, so whatever, I'll deal with that later. Let's go back over here to the old CoinGecker, and let's see where we are on Binance Smart Coin. 57404. Tether is a stable coin. It's a dollar. Solana 184.82. Cardano $1.35. USDC, another stable coin, 98 cents. Wow, 2 cents under. And XRP, 81 cents. Polkadot, 28.36. Terra, 65.36. The Doge, down to number 11. It's getting kicked out of the house. Go to the doghouse, Doge. And then Avalanche is right there, sandwiched in between the Sheebs and the Doge. I like Avalanche, you know? It went up to about $120. Per token for a little bit there. And of course I had to buy some Avalanche right when it was $120. And then now it's back down to 87.82. Yesterday it was at 77 something. And of course I did. Now I don't really have any money to buy any Avalanche now. But yesterday, last Sunday, I ended up buying other stuff besides Avalanche. And Polygon's done very well, up 31.5% in the past 7 days. So right here, you can't see that little graph part, but there's like a little bleep, uptick right there. And I think that happened yesterday. Let's see. Anything else I really want to talk about right now? No, I think I'm good. I'm good. Anything else that's like really shot up in the past seven? BitTorrent. Wow. I caught BitTorrent back when it dramatically spiked. And I made like $5,000 off of that one spike last spring or something. And it's like the only time I've ever used Tron, the Tron blockchain. And I set up a wallet in the Tron area, sector or space, I don't know, and bought some BitTorrent because right when it first came out, it kind of reminded me of the old college days where you would BitTorrent some stuff down, LimeWire. I don't know if you guys ever used LimeWire, Kazaa, you know, and then BitTorrent came shortly after all that. I think a lot of people bought BitTorrent right before that spike, out of nostalgia. And I think that's what caused that spike. And then people realize, well, this is really not worth anything. And I just made a bunch of money, so I'm going to sell it. That's kind of what happened to that token, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. Let's go back over here. Let's go to gm.xyz. Okay. I've been frequenting this new decentralized social media platform. And I've been testing out ethereum.world lately too. And they are trying to develop out a Web3 social media space, and you connect your wallet, right? And from there, you should be able theoretically to take your network with you or take your assets with you that you've accumulated in one place and be able to go to another social media network. I don't really see how you can do that here, but I didn't really have to give up any type of personal information in order to be able to create a profile on here. All I did was just connect my MetaMask wallet. And as you can see here, my name is EurekaJohn.eth. Oh, I guess you can't see that. Hold on, situated. Boy, howdy. There. Ta-da, there. So you see the top end, just kind of, you know, it's like Facebook, I guess. But for better or worse. But it's actually a pretty cool app. And, you know, I've started following, I follow 12 people on here. All right, I have 12 followers. I follow 15 people on here. And it's mainly Ethereum focused, but over here, kind of like Reddit. Let me just pull that out so you can see that. You can see all these different communities. So you have to join a community. And when you post, you have to post to a community, right? So right here, here's Web3 music. And I do like Web3. I like Web3 and I like music. So let's go over to Web3 music, take a look. And let's go see what's going on in the Web3 music space, shall we? Show some stage. Web3 music, I think, is going to be a huge place blowing up. There's so much stuff going on. Artists creating NFTs for their music. The decentralized music space, such as Audius.co, where it just gives the artists direct power over their music and interaction with their fans, creating NFTs, and all that type of stuff, creating communities around their music. And dark techno playlist on Audius. So I will get that opening in the background while I scroll down through this. Hawaiian Hammer, good morning. It's early, but I really love how simple the GM site is. I really love this community because probably many. Okay. Jazz plus Web3, as a music technologist, crypto enthusiast, and label owner, I've been itching to combine all these passions. It'll open the thread. Okay. So there was one down here. Kevin Rose podcast, Linkin Park's Mike Shinoda is dropping ziggurats. What the heck? Okay. Very interesting pod on an upcoming NFT drop of generative music. Mike Shinoda is a very thoughtful, artistic, creative guy. So I guess, let's just check this out. Linkin Park. Yeah. I never really got into Linkin Park, but technologically speaking, from a producer standpoint, the person who produced that music apparently is revered by a lot of audio engineers. So give it a listen. Modern Finance episode, Artist Spotlight, LinkedIn, Parks, Shinoda is dropping ziggurats. All right, so let's see here. Bullish on ziggurats. Have been listening to the songs and really enjoy them. Okay, let's open link in new tab, and we'll take a look at that in a second. And let me go back one and scroll on down. Okay, then there's another one that I wanted to highlight that I found, and I opened up this article that somebody referred to. And it's a really long article, and I started going through, and oh, here's one I posted, Hip Hop Heads NFT, and I talked about that a few days ago, and I've bought two of these NFTs by Louis C. Rhymes, and it combines some generative art with his little snippets of his music, and it's overall a fun project, and the proceeds go towards helping artists work within this type of technology and building communities and stuff like that for artists. With NFTs and music. So, I know how hard it is to teach artists about new technology and stuff like that. I mean, I'm a skateboarder myself, and I have some friends that run a skateboard company, and I've been trying to hammer into them because they've been putting out all these amazing graphics on this new line of skateboards. I'm like, guys, let's make these NFTs. And nobody seems to understand what the hell I'm talking about. And they think that I'm that crypto guy, kind of like the MLM, multi-level marketing, a weirdo over there that's just trying to push my essential oils in. let me find this post here. We need a group. Fans will be rewarded for early artist discovery through NFTs. Okay, I think this is the post. So, fans will be rewarded for early artist discovery through NFTs. Let me open this. Okay, so the examples below are probably the more obvious music NFT use cases out there, but I think the implications of an early adopter slash discovery mechanism will make us look back with disbelief on the missed upside for fans in the past. Fans are the main economic driver of their favorite acts and should be rewarded accordingly. Okay, yeah. But it's kind of, to me, it seems a little contradictory, because a lot of times, whenever you're an early fan of something, you don't really care about doing it for the reward. You just are stoked on discovering something before everybody else. And that, in a way, is kind of a reward, is being an early adopter. And, I'm kind of an early adopter snob, I've been criticized for that in the past by my friends and family and stuff like that. I mean, John already knows everything, doesn't he? Like, so sorry, it's just kind of an obnoxious part of my personality. But fans are the main economic driver of their favorite acts and should be rewarded accordingly. So you shouldn't do something specifically for the reward, but as long as you are discovering something, might as well get a reward for it, right? So Katie Huan of A16Z, that's a big venture capitalist company focused on crypto projects. So Katie Huan of A16Z on how NFTs are going to dramatically change the business model for the internet, for consumers and content creators. People are focused today on digital art, and this is a quote for her, but I think next year at this time, we'll be talking about music and what barriers can come down in the music world. Billie Eilish was kind of discovered on the internet by a group of fans. Yet, did those early adopters, her really true fans who made her famous, did they share in her stardom? Not a bit. In fact, not only did they not share in her stardom, their experience was worse as she blew up. Ticket prices went up, the lines got longer at stadiums, and concert venues are sold out for her. I mean, that is the age-old story. When you first discover something new and cool, then suddenly the mainstream jumps on board, and you're just like, I remember seeing that band when they were playing at this crappy little dive bar over on Guadalupe, And a hole in the wall. I remember when they played there. Yeah, I saw it. And that's kind of a claim. I mean, I saw Marilyn Manson play at some crappy little bar up in East Austin back in 1994, right? Does that make me cool? I mean, I think so, but you may not think so. So, I don't think that I'm like entitled to some kind of reward for that. But it'd be cool, if somehow there was I guess somebody could have accounted for every single person who attended that show at the, I think, I can't remember the name of that place. I think it's called The Warehouse or something. And, everybody that went in that show, they maybe not got their identity, but off of their phone got their Ethereum wallet address, say for instance. And then later on, what was it? 1994. So let's see, 2004. Shoot, dude, that's 18 years later? No, it's more than that. 2004. Holy crap. That's 28 years later. So 28 years later, they could drop an NFT for all the people that were at the show, like a POAP, and that POAP could be worth something. And I'd be like, hell yeah, thanks Marilyn Manson for spitting on the guy next to me in the crowd and giving me this POAP that's worth something. So now imagine if the people who discovered Billie Eilish, I don't even really know much about Billie Eilish, honestly, because I'm too old, but now imagine if the people who discovered her and made her what she was in her early days, what if through an NFT or a smart contract, they could have held something that related to Billie Eilish's success? It could be that she records a song to Spotify, but then creates a companion smart contract NFT that entitles fans to special access to shows forever, or to tour with her, or perhaps entitles them to future portions of her royalty streams. Now, all of a sudden, these fans share in the economic upside instead of just record labels, lawyers, and middlemen. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, like I was saying about the Marilyn Manson example, what if 28 years later I was dropped an NFT that's worth something for going to that show because I happened to just jump in on Marilyn Manson in Austin, Texas, at a really early stage when he was playing at some danky beer smelling hole in the wall clubs, you know? So, yeah. So, and then, okay, that was point one. So fans are the main economic driver of their favorite acts and should be rewarded accordingly. Okay. So point number two about that, during Three Lao's panel at NFT NYC. And I don't even know who Three Lao is, honestly. All the kids are listening to Three Lao lately. So during Three Lao's panel at NFT NYC, while discussing why he set out to build Royal, he stated that he wishes he could have invested in the Chainsmokers, 28 million monthly users on Spotify now, and Illenium, 11 million monthly users listeners on Spotify, when they opened for him at shows, which is why he wishes he had something to support their early careers on. When you think about the financial upside, Three Lao and his fans, who presumably saw both acts early on, could have had NFTs. It's pretty crazy to think about. When you think about being an early adopter, getting an NFT as being an early adopter, and you don't, as a fan, expect some kind of reward or payout, because you're a fan for a reason. You're a fan because you like the stuff. You're not a fan because you want to make wise decisions and investments. You know, you're a fan because you think it's freaking cool, man. You know, and so, and then if you happen to get rewarded for it, right on. I don't know. I just got sidetracked in my head. So let's check out. I'm curious. I want to check out royal.io. I've never really looked at it. I've seen Three Lao on Audius, and let's go over here to Audius. And this is this dark techno playlist that somebody posted. So you can make your own playlist. And look, as you can see right up here at the top, hold on, let me open this up so you can kind of see what I'm talking about. Over here to the left on the window, you see the little menu, and you can see where I've signed in a Web3 way. Of course, on Audius, I had to create an account too, but I did connect my MetaMask wallet. I've got a little account, Eureka John 1. And here's a dark techno playlist that somebody created. So I can, like this playlist. So I will go ahead and I'll just favorite that, even though I haven't listened to it. And I'll listen to it later. And there is a lot of, techno and IDM and stuff like that on Audius. So it may or may not be your thing. So it's up to you. But there's a lot of other stuff on there, too. I've posted my band's old music on there, Lasers with a Z, and it's terrible music. But apparently I've gotten, a pretty decent amount of followers on there. And this is like my old band from like 2004 and 2005. I'd say it's maybe about like 2007 to 2011. It's pretty easy stuff. I don't know if I've earned any tokens or anything from it. Gotten 23 followers, and people have added to their playlists and all that stuff. I just kind of use it as an old dump for my old stuff. But anyway, back to the point, let's look at Three Lao's page on here and let's take a look. 3LAU. All right, so let's check this out. So yeah, there's no labels or anything like this on here. You can create your own playlists. It kind of works a lot like Spotify, but using Web3. And I think there's some mechanism in order to be able to tip and give and all that stuff, the audio token and stuff like that. And I'm not really sure how all that works either. So don't hold me to it. Don't ever hold me to anything I ever say on this show, honestly. I'm just kind of just reaching. And it's taken a while to search, so we'll see about that. Anyway, while that's doing that, let's go take a look at this Royal website. Yeah, so royal.io. Invest in artists, share the success. We're building a platform where you can buy ownership and songs directly from your favorite artists and earn royalties with them. Okay, so I guess this has like that whole NFT function where you own the NFT. But the beauty about NFTs is anytime an NFT trades hands, a percentage of that goes to the original creator if they write that in. And then if you've ever created an NFT on OpenSea and uploaded it, you can change those configurations yourself manually. You don't have to know any code or anything like that. All you have to do is specify the percentage that you receive every single time the NFT is sold and bought and stuff like that. So you will continue. So that's like, you know, if somebody has a baseball card, or I have Garbage Pail Kids like sitting here on my desk and baseball cards. Yeah. So here's a Garbage Pail Kid, Charred Chuck. Yeah. If Garbage Pail Kids made money one time when somebody bought a pack of Garbage Pail Kids, but anytime that this Garbage Pail Kid has been sold, it's made some, you know, if this were an NFT, Garbage Pail Kids would make like a percentage of that, maybe even 5% if that's what they programmed in. Check this out. Here's some Sport Flicks. It's Tony Fernandez. And I don't know if you can see that, but it's kind of like the original animated GIF. This was back from 1987. All right. 1987 Sport Flick. Yeah, that's kind of, you turn it and tilt it and it kind of moves. Yeah. Hey, it's an animated GIF. Gen X animated GIF. All right. So invest in artists, share their success. We're building a platform where you can buy ownerships and songs directly from your artists and earn royalties with them. Okay. How it works. Artists sell ownership. Musicians use Royal to sell ownership in their songs and fan experiences. Collectors buy ownership. Collectors can purchase ownership and songs directly from their favorite artists. And then they all rise together. Yep, rising tide raises all ships. Collectors receive royalties for the songs they buy. When artists grow, everyone wins. So cool, man. Here's 3LAU. Okay. Winners from our earliest access contest get royalties in 3LAU's new track, Worst Case. Stay tuned for our first live drop coming soon. So yes, artists can be amazing business people as well. I mean, look at Dee Snider from Twisted Sister for an 80s example. I mean, that dude had the crazy hair and he looked like an animal and everything like that. But the guy was an amazing businessman. And he went to court against Tipper Gore and all that stuff. And the whole religious right and all that to fight against censorship. So are you an artist? Are you interested in partnering with us on this project? We'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch with us to get started. So right now it looks like you have to submit artists. So it is centralized in that way. Not everything can be decentralized right now. People ask, you know, DAOs are coming in and being like the whole new thing and decentralization and community run everything. However, in order to get something started, there has to be a certain amount of centralization and stuff like that to get things going. And that's cool. All right, so let's see here. Let's go to this article, Modern Finance, Artist Spotlight, Linkin Park's Mike Shinoda is dropping ziggurats. Okay, so about the episode, Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park and Fort Minor fame joins Kevin to discuss why he was initially reluctant to embrace the NFT scene. In spite of setting Kevin on the path to his own obsession, drumming up the acceptance of NFTs in the mainstream industry Skewomorphism. I don't know. Current collaborations, the state of unreleased Linkin Park music, and where people can go to await Mike's upcoming Ziggurats drop. So Mike Shinoda is an American singer, songwriter, rapper, artist, record producer, and co-founder of Machine Shop Records. He co-founded Linkin Park in 1996 and is the band's lead vocalist, as well as rhythm guitarist, keyboardist, primary songwriter, and producer. Mike later created a hip-hop driven side project, Fort Minor, in 2004. Okay, so let's check out these Ziggurats and see what's going on. So I don't know, how do you feel about, and Kevin Rose talked about this on the Bankless HQ podcast, about celebrities, and I don't know if Mike Shinoda would really qualify as a celebrity, but doing these NFT drops, and he was saying he would not invest in like celebrity NFT drops. And I specifically think about like Katy Perry on the Theta blockchain dropping her NFT, and a lot of these celebrities, like big celebrities, dropping these NFTs. And I just think that's kind of like lemming material, honestly. And it's kind of like buying a car, it'd depreciate really quickly. But that's just like my opinion, man. So let's see here. Ziggurats, generative mixtape plus art by Mike Shinoda. We are sold out. Thank you. Okay. Well, I guess I'm late on that. Ziggurats is the first generative NFT mixtape. It's a collection of 5,000 unique audio plus visual NFTs on the Tezos chain. See? Coming back to Tezos, is where it gets too expensive one place and where everything starts becoming like some kind of VIP club. All the cool kids will go to the crappy dive bars, right? And that's where you find the best stuff. You don't find the best music at the stadium shows. That's all I'm saying. You got to go to the crappy dive bars. So Ziggurats is the first generative NFT mixtape. It's a collection of 5,000 unique audio plus visual NFTs on the Tezos chain, generated from new art and music by Mike Shinoda. Visually and musically, no two items are the same, but some are more rare. The initial price of each NFT will be 15 Tezos. That's like nothing. So in ancient Mesopotamia, Ziggurat was a tall, layered structure. It was believed that the gods lived in the temple at the top. Great care, effort, and creativity went into the creation of its complex structure. Likewise, this project is built upon layers of effort and devotion, some elements many years in the making. This looks honestly pretty freaking rad, in my personal humble opinion. No roadmap. It has become common for... I love this. Yeah, this is so anti, like, the traditional what should be... where's your roadmap? What is your budget? I don't know. We've got to do an AMA, and we're going to, you know... So it has become common for artists and developers to introduce their NFT with a roadmap. In it, they promise events, prizes, merchandise, and future utility. So roadmaps promise the world, that's for sure. But the future is elusive. Things move quickly in directions unforeseen. Absolutely correct. Ziggurats is not about putting future destinations on the map. It's about exploring the unknown and planting flags along the way. Flexibility will allow us to move with the ebb and flow of time, opportunity, and innovation. And yes, giveaways and surprises are already in the works. Stay tuned for details. Your attention will be rewarded. So that's pretty rad, man. I'm not a fan of Linkin Park, to be honest, but I'm a fan of this project, and I'm becoming a fan of Tezos and their NFT stuff, you know. Right on, man. Yeah, this is why I love doing this show in the morning, because I don't really know what the hell I'm going to discover on a day-to-day basis, and then I'll just start opening crap up, and I'm just like, dude, this is pretty awesome. So more about Tezos. While many popular projects on the Ethereum chain chose Tezos for this project because it's a green NFT, okay, using about 2 million times less energy than Ethereum or Bitcoin, this allows for much lower transaction gas fees and environmental impact. Okay, buying a Ziggurat NFT for beginners. Okay, so then it just tells you how to do that. You can go to Temple or Kukai. I mean, I guess I could open my Kukai wallet. Let me see. I'm going to sign in. All right, so I think I used my Eureka Street email. So now you know my email addresses. You know, so let's see here. So it's signing me in, and just don't spam me. You know, so, I don't have anything really important I do on those email addresses anyway. So let's see here. So this is loading up my wallet, and It's got the little Tezos sign, and I think it's pretty cool. Okay, so I have a balance of a couple Tezos. No, I have a balance of zero Tezos in there. And is this not the right wallet? Let me check out my. I can't remember what wallet I signed in to create my Kukai wallet. So that's obviously not the right wallet. So, well, all right, man. I'll come back. I'll find the right wallet. It's somewhere, and I'll just, It is what it is. And that being said, anyway, I'm out of time. I'm 5 minutes over. So I will talk to you guys tomorrow, and maybe I'll pull up the right wallet and I'll log into the correct Tezos account and all that stuff. Or I could just download and get some private keys and set up a whole new wallet and do it the right way. All right. Well, that being said, I will talk to you guys tomorrow, and who knows what the hell I'll be talking about then. All right. Later.